regularly scheduled segment, Plants in the Wild. For our new segment, the Backlog Review Game Club, here with me today, as always, Chris.
Paul, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Chris, how do you feel about the state of being in games?
You know, it's very interesting that you asked me that. I often think about, what does it mean to have a sense of self in this world where we have these digital avatars parading around, but they follow our every input, our every whim? Am I the pixels? Are the pixels me? It really is quite a conundrum.
What am I controlling?
Yeah.
What controls me? This is actually an excellent segue into the game for this one.
It really worked.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Oh God.
I'm not gonna be mad.
Man,
about it.
I could have did NPR vibes for a while.
I really could have as well, I think.
Oh, it's so much fun to do that.
Yeah. Well, here we are again.
I just haven't listened to enough lately.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, it's been, I mean, I don't have to drive to work anymore. So
exactly.
So I don't watch or listen to my NPR every morning. That's, man. Whew. If I'm trying to, you know, present myself as a young hot single, nothing gets the crowd going like hearing that I listen to NPR on my way to work.
That's right.
Ladies. Anyway, so we're going to move on. So
thanks. We have to do the real intro yet.
Oh, that's real.
We're keeping that. Don't get me wrong. Okay, yeah, I just meant like, hey, everybody.
Yeah, right. Hey, everyone. Welcome again to another month of the Backlog Review Game Club. My name is Paul. With me, as always, the founder, CEO, and
CTO,
head honcho.
Yep.
CAO, the chief audio officer.
Ooh, I like that one.
That's definitely what you are.
EP.
Yeah.
You're also EP.
I'll take it.
Yep. Anybody can be EP. Yeah. No one's gonna call me on it.
Yeah. What do EPs do?
Right.
You know? I feel like sometimes it's just like, oh yeah, we need a big name on this.
Mm-hmm.
Or this person wrote the book.
Or look, we needed to sweeten their contract a bit, so we gave them an EP credit so they would stick around for season 3.
Oh yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's exactly what's needed.
Is it too early to get into a MASH update?
I was wondering. I guess we'll say the name of the game this month first, and then we'll quick pivot to MASH.
Oh yeah, then we can get into the other stuff. Yeah.
Or do we need to give it this early? Maybe we should keep them waiting.
I mean, to be fair,
they see it in the title.
They know we're talking super hot.
Yeah. So this week we are, as Chris said,
this month.
Wow. Spoiler alert, Chris. Yeah. Did I say this week?
He said this week.
I definitely meant.
I can't keep up that pace.
In this moment.
Yeah.
And for the next month, you will hear nothing but super
hot.
Super
hot.
All right. We won't keep doing that. But
it'll come up.
Yeah, it definitely will. It's definitely going to come up. But maybe that we can use that as our like tangent, like the tangent sound.
Come back from tangents.
Well, I guess that's what I'm wondering. Do we say?
I feel like when you come back from tangents,
as like a preamble. Okay, yeah, yeah.
When you come back from because at the end of the level,
that's
you have
right.
to say the
that's,
chant.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Well, yep,
that makes sense.
Can't wait to dig into that more. But
yeah,
but we got at least 15 to 20 minutes of bullshit.
Yeah, that's
everyone's favorite segment.
Definitely for sure. All right, so I want to hear the goings on of young Hawkeye Pierce.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got this month's MASH update.
Yeah.
So burning through
this month's mashup.
Oh man.
Shit.
This month's mashup.
Womp.
They never do the bwop, by the way, in the song, and I want them to do it every time. Yeah. I've mentioned on here before that I finally watched the MASH movie. I probably did.
I've never seen the movie either.
It's weird.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I don't like it as much as... I mean, obviously, I don't like it as much as the show.
Are any of the characters
yeah,
the
so
same characters?
The only actor that comes over is Radar. is
Radar.
Gary Berghoff. He is Radar in both. Hmm. And then technically one of the generals from the movie shows up in season one a couple of times, and then you never see him again.
Wild.
But Donald Sutherland is Hawkeye.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird because he does like a little whistle thing in the movie. That's like his tick. The hat that Alan Alda wears in like season one is like almost like a fishing hat thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the same hat Donald Sutherland wears in the movie.
Interesting.
And then what the hell is the guy's name? I can never remember his name. Is Trapper John. It's he was the Monica and Ross's dad on Friends.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't know his name.
Kind of a shitbag.
Yeah.
he's Trapper John, and it's weird. In the movie they play the characters more 50-50, where it's you get as much Trapper John as you do Hawkeye.
Oh, gotcha.
They make Margaret way dumber. Mm. way dumber. Also the surgery scenes are more like graphic, kind of. There's more blood on them, and there's a lot more of like blood splatters.
Oh yeah.
Like an over the top kind of way, but in a way that you could imagine things going wrong.
Right.
Looking
more like an ER.
Right. As opposed to some of these episodes where they come out and they have like, it looks like they spilled spaghetti sauce on them. Yeah, like just like, a little bit.
Somehow on their stomach. Yeah.
Yep. So the main buildup of the movie.
Or a trauma unit, I guess I should say. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. The main like buildup to the focal point of the movie is a football game between two of the MASH units, the 4077 and some other one.
Weird.
They figure out that they could transfer to bring someone who got drafted from the, like, he was in the NFL and got drafted into the war.
So they
bring him in as their ringer, and they have somebody, the other MASH unit has another ringer. And it's just like back and forth.
Interesting.
And like that happens, and you're like, well, where's the you watch the show. If you watch the show first, you're like, well, where's any of the stuff about like their personalities or the toll of the war?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pierce just goes home after the football game. He's like, oh, I got my papers. I'm out. It's been 3 months.
What?
That's it. That's how the movie ends. And then it's just like, do you remember at like the end of season? Well, I guess the end of each season, they would always do these like roll call bits where the PA announcer would announce the names of the characters. It was like almost the first 4 or 5 seasons, they would always do this where they would, the last episode of the season, they'd be like, that was, Alan Alda. Like they would do like a roll call of like, Hawkeye Pierce is Alan Alda, or Alan Alda is Hawkeye Pierce. Mm. McLean Stevenson is Trapper John. They do that at the end of the movie. So you're like, okay, that came over from the movie too. And I think that voice might be the same. Mm. Maybe. Anyway, big lead up to what I'm actually watching. I got through seasons, all of 6, all of 7, and I just started 8. 8 had that episode where Ed Begley Jr. comes in. He's a soldier that keeps tripping and hurting himself.
Yes.
But he's an amazing cook.
I remember this one.
They do everything they can to keep him there as the MASH unit cook. And the same episode, the Potter gets a letter from Mildred, and Mildred's really upset that he's still in Korea. And then he's been gone for like 15, 18 years or whatever. And so he's mad, and he keeps trying to call her, and they can't connect to her.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, he is no mood for this bullshit about keeping the cook. So that was pretty good. That episode's great. And then Ed Begley Jr. does eventually become a cook, but he just volunteers to go back and cook for his unit. Mm. He's like, it's the least I could do after I kept falling and hurting people. That was really good. I continued to find myself liking Charles more than I expect.
Yeah.
Because while he still sucks and has like that aristocratic, blue blood bullshit to him, he still has more humanity than Frank ever did.
He definitely does. Yes.
And like
Well, because Frank was just an idiot on top of it all.
Yeah, Frank was an idiot. He was a bad surgeon.
Yeah.
And
there was nothing redeeming about it.
Rah-rah. Yeah, he was just like hardcore conservative American. Yep. It was awful.
Teacher's pet, too.
Yep, yep. Yeah. He was just, you know. And there's a that's another good episode I got to see. Colonel Flagg comes back. And Colonel Flagg is the one that's always like the undercover guy. He's always showing up because there's some big conspiracy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize that they do this storyline three different times, but with different characters. Colonel Flagg shows up because there's a communist sympathizer in the group and they think it's Hawkeye. Mm. There's another episode where somebody else shows up and they think it's Margaret.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. But yeah, Colonel Flagg yeah, comes back and Charles meets him for the first time. And so Frank always was like ready and raring to go for Colonel Flagg. He loved him. Whereas Charles couldn't care less.
Yep.
He's just like, yeah, no. The only way you think that he's about to rope Charles in is that he can get him out of the MASH unit back to Tokyo, or he even said back home in Boston.
Yeah.
And so he's like, look, I'm not selling out anybody. And also the idea that, you know, Hawkeye would be a communist sympathizer is laughable, but. And then I think he was like threatening him with blackmail or something. Like he gets threatened with blackmail, and so he has to play along. Or so you think
maybe
he's playing along.
Maybe I do that. Remember that one then. Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
But you find out in the end, he sets up Colonel Flagg because they know that there are some South Korean delegates that come and play poker. And he makes it so that Colonel Flagg thinks those are like the North Koreans coming in to plot with Hawkeye and Potter, even though they just play poker. They're South Korean and they play poker.
Yeah.
So they come in and bust it, and you find out, you know, he's a South Korean delegate that has like a lot of knows a lot of important people at I-Corps. And so he gets shipped out, and like Hawkeye's like, Charles, did you have something to do with this? He's like, I might have, you know me, I wouldn't have done something unless I got a laugh out of it.
Now that you're saying that, I do feel like I remember that episode. But yeah, he definitely has more redeeming qualities to him. Frank is
the worst.
It's just annoying.
Yeah, absolutely the worst. I can't tell you how cathartic it is to talk about MASH as much. I really have been enjoying it.
It's such a great show.
It really
man.
Is. You know, it and like I used to think, from what I used to hear people say, like at a certain point when it's just Alan Alda doing a lot of directing and writing, that it's all gonna be like, it's all serious tone. And don't get me wrong, I like the serious tone episodes. I like, that's what makes the show last better than if it's all just like, wah, look at them,
like antics.
Yeah, especially like the early Trapper John stuff where there's the episode where, this is my last bit for MASH Corner, and I'll save it more for next month.
Right.
But there's an episode where there's a general who keeps. Is the highest casualty rate of, you know, of the surrounding units that they operate on. Mm-hmm. And he has a whole batch that comes in, and he drives in to the MASH unit to like cheer up his men. And, you know, he's like, we're going to go take back that hill. You guys are showing me. And they're just like, you cannot keep doing this. Like Potter talks to the general, you know, Pierce and Honeycutt are just disgusted with him, and he's one of the, like smooth talking guys. It's like, no, I see what you mean, but he does it anyways. He's just gonna do what he wants to do. And at one point, Potter pens a letter back to I-Corps, and then his general or his, you know, colonel, I don't know what the rank, I don't remember the ranks, but anyway, his higher up calls him and says, "You're not doing that offensive."
Yeah,
and he's like, "Fine." And you think, you know, Pierce and Honeycutt are there like, oh, I guess you're not going to get to do it. And he's like, but hey, I mean, I can take that hill anyways. What if there's a reconnaissance mission and some fighting happens to break out? And you're like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So Pierce like pretends to get along with him at a certain point, and they invite him back to the tent, and he like puts something in his drink to make his stomach sore, and he's trying to pass it off like he has appendicitis. Honeycutt refuses to play along with that, and is just like, no, he has a stomach ache, it'll only be a couple of days. He's like, it's appendicitis. They did the same thing early on with Trapper John and Pierce, And it was all like, ha ha ha, they did it. This time, Honeycutt isn't having it. And is like, you have a moral code as a doctor. If you cut into healthy flesh, you're losing a piece of your humanity here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't have to be that. And it's just like, it's one person versus 100 that he's going to send out, you know? And so Honeycutt doesn't do it. Pierce does do the surgery. Comes back to the swamp. You know, Honeycutt's drinking, not looking at Pierce. And he's not, Pierce isn't
I
looking
feel like
back.
I remember this one
and he's
too
just
now,
like,
yeah.
Well, what'd you do? He's like, I cut into it. It was pink and healthy and I threw it away. So, yep. He's like, radar just came in here. We got another, you know, we got more choppers coming in. Like, a couple hundred. And then the things come on. He's like, Hawk, you just treated a symptom. You know? And then they have to go back in the surgery.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And I was like, I checked. I don't think that was an Alanol dirt. But, like, yeah, those episodes, and then you have the Cook episode.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, yep. Those still exist.
The heaviness. Yeah.
It's a great show. It had some of it doesn't hold up, but it's still more of it holds up than you would expect.
Yeah.
I want to throw that disclaimer in every time I talk about it.
All right, yeah.
It's on Hulu. You should really watch it.
Yeah, it's great.
Alan Alda's great.
You've seen the end? Have you seen
the last
episode?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the last episode. I forgot about it, and then
it's intense.
Oh, my God, dude.
It is really intense.
Yeah. I forgot about the whole what he thinks he sees versus what happens. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
There was a joke about that on the Oh Hello Broadway show because they had Alan Alda. There's a joke in that those two have a restraining order taken out against them from Alan Alda.
Oh, yeah.
So Alan Alda showed up to do like their first show. It's like the interview guest.
Yeah.
I think it's Mulaney's character that says, you know, over 70 million people tune in to watch the most depressing episode, or the least funny episode of MASH ever.
And I think, wasn't it like, I don't know that it still is.
I think if it's not the most watched finale of a show, it's definitely second.
Yeah.
I think it's still up there.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I want to say Game of Thrones came close to dethroning.
Hey.
But I don't think it happened. I think MASH still has that record because it's an absurd number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that was MASH.
MASH
that was
Corner.
That was the mashup.
We did.
Again, they need to add that little one. Oh yeah, also side note from the movie, last minute, I always read the interviews about how they said that song had to have the dumbest lyrics possible. Suicide is painless.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was a character in the movie Painless. He's a dentist for the MASH unit.
Oh,
he wants to commit suicide because he had, I'm going to try to find the nicest way to talk about this, one bout of sexual dysfunction.
Oh.
One time. One time something didn't go right there and he wanted to commit suicide.
Wow.
So they do this whole big mock thing where they think they're going to do like assisted suicide.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're just going to give him a placebo. And then he'll sleep. And he won't sleep. They're going to do something that really isn't good. We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But because the movie is, oh boy.
Yeah. I do remember that.
But he gets into the fake casket they have and they're singing Suicide is Painless. And I realized, oh, that's why I read all these interviews about why the lyrics were shit. Because it's supposed to be dumb. This whole scene was supposed to be really stupid and melodramatic, and yet that song went on to make the kid who wrote those lyrics a ton of money because they still used it on the show, even though they never used the lyrics.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh, God. Okay. But we're here to talk about video games.
Oh, wait. Super.
So hot. I did want to mention just some of the before. I swear to God, we're going to talk about super hot. But just real quick, any other games we wanted to, that we were playing this month, I just want to call out real quick. I was playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I've never been a Final Fantasy VII person. It was always just, I just missed it growing up. And I've tried to play the original, and, you know, it's a little old and outdated, and I just never want to dive into it. But that remake's doing it for me. The combat system's good. Characters, like, it looks really good. Yeah, I got nice. The PS5 upgrade version finally, and it's real freaking good. I'm having a good time with that. Pokemon Legends Arceus? I always have a problem with it.
Right.
Pokemon Legends. Real good. Graphics are crap, but I mean, I don't care as much because the Pokemon gameplay is finally switched up, and
yeah, that's what I've rough. Heard. I've heard.
Those Pokemon will kick your ass in this one.
Hey. As they should. You know?
Also, it took me
never mind. It
took me 20 hours to find a Magikarp.
Wow.
Yeah, because I couldn't get out into the ocean until I got one Pokemon that let me ride on its back.
Right.
I don't know how to say it, or else I'd say the name of the Pokemon. It's one of the post 250 remember. So
not even. So you found one before you found the Magikarp. Is what you're saying.
That I had to do a story mission that would let me travel in water, and once I did that, I just found a ton of Magikarp.
Oh,
and it was real funny. I love that you just run around and you just throw Pokeballs, and so occasionally you bop them on the head. I did like 3 times in a row to a Magikarp, and it made me giggle so much. Just like, donk.
They're already not the brightest looking creatures.
Yeah.
And it just adds to the hilarity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the last thing of note is that I restarted Cyberpunk 2077 now that the 1.5 patch is out on PC. That intro bit ran a lot smoother than I remember it running the first time around. And I haven't really changed my PC settings much. So I still get some ray tracing. And I mean, it still dips below 60 during some of the heavy stuff, but it's not distracting enough that I would change it. Like, it still looks good enough, and it still runs well enough most of the time. I'm like, I'm just going to leave it here. So we'll see.
Yeah, I've definitely considered, now that patch came out, picking it up at some point.
Yeah, there's that 5-hour trial, which I also have that on the PS5 right now. And I never played the Nomad intro, so I did it on there. It was pretty good. The PS5 DualSense stuff is really, really neat on that.
Yeah.
That alone almost made me buy it again, but I'm like, no, you buy it on one thing and you finish it first.
There you go. Attaboy.
Yeah. Damn it.
Do it for yourself, you know?
Yep. All right. That's enough of me talking. Anything else you wanted to?
I'm playing Mad Max right now, which... I had bought with like a gift card a long time ago. I had heard it got like sort of, or like good reviews. And I'm into the movies, I guess. So I decided to get it and I started playing it, and I didn't realize until I started playing it that it is essentially a reskinning of Shadow of Mordor, which was a game I really enjoyed. So that worked out. And instead of, you know, running around and killing orcs, you drive around and blow up cars. And it's pretty fun.
It doesn't have that, like, Genesis. Not Genesis. Nemesis.
really. No, it doesn't. It doesn't in the regard, or in the way, like, that Shadow of Mordor did.
There was some other game that, because Warner Brothers copyrighted that system.
Right.
And I can't remember what that game was. It was a non-Lord of the Rings one. They're like, we also have the Nemesis systems because we're also Warner Brothers. And everyone was like, oh, that's weird.
Would that have been like one of the Arkham games, maybe?
Yeah, I think it might have been one of the DC games.
Yeah.
Is it that upcoming... Aren't they doing a Justice League one?
They might be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be that. Or Suicide Squad.
That would make sense, yeah.
Suicide Squad, that's what I meant.
But yeah, the game's fun.
One of those properties that I don't care about.
Yeah, yeah. You build your car as you go. You run around and punch people and blow stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
The explosions look real nice.
Yeah.
And as they should, because that's sort of a main part of the entire story.
Yeah. I always thought that was made by the Just Cause people.
So I don't know that it's. I think WB had like a hand in the production of some sort, but not.
Yeah,
like,
it probably published it.
Yeah, yeah, but not maybe not the development.
Yeah. I don't remember. That was an Avalanche Studios game.
It could be. Yeah. But there's definitely still like the way the map's set up and like, you know, there's X things you have to do in each mm-hmm. section and you lower like the threat level and all that kind of stuff. Just the way that all of that's laid out is definitely of the same ilk.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So yeah, it's been pretty fun. Nothing like crazy. Certainly not breaking any ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's been a fun game to play.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that a lot of people I saw played it, the like if you're like bored to death of like the Ubisoft style game, probably wasn't gonna do something for
you.
Yeah,
right.
But
exactly.
Some people I know there are a few people that like that game did it for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's or, definitely
like, you know, had enough of the property, or maybe if you have a strong attachment to Mad Max as well.
Yeah, that world. I think it's a cool world, certainly that's been built. So yeah, it's working for me. But I also, it's another one of those games, because I, Shadow of Mordor was one of the few games that I've like 100%ed, because it's easy to, like, it's just like a, you got to check all the boxes, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, do it again on the hardest mode ever with three hands tied behind your back.
God, do I hate those ones.
First, grow a third arm and then tie it behind your back. And it's just like, I don't care. I don't want to do that. I have too many other games to play. Like,
give me the trophies all in one.
Yeah.
On one setting.
Yeah.
I hate it when you lock it behind.
Yeah, it's just annoying. Like, do I have to play another 40-hour game again? on a harder difficulty? Right. Why?
This isn't Persona 5. I'm not going to do New Game Plus.
Right, exactly. Or, yeah, any of those types of games. I'm not.
Makes me sad. We'll never talk about that on here.
Yeah, well. Maybe you can get somebody else to come on. You can have a special guest.
You need to have like a Paul won't play this month.
I won't play this
one. Then I'll let you have one.
I feel like I had one with Halo.
but you can have someone on that likes it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But sorry, I was going to say my last... I meant to, before we started recording, I wanted to have one follow-up with the Halo thing.
Yeah.
So I was obviously very dejected after that.
It happens.
It showed. it wasn't subtle. I had a moment where I re-downloaded Destiny 2.
Ooh.
And I had a lot more fun with it than I expected.
Oh, really?
It's so different now.
Interesting.
It's cross-platform now, which part of me is like, maybe we should play that sometime.
I'd be down.
I still don't know what I'm doing. But when you start now, yeah, you get dropped into a game show where it's you and three, you know, your party or whoever you get randomly paired with, and you just basically kind of run through all the main enemy factions of the original run of Destiny 2.
Interesting.
But you don't play those stories anymore because they took them away. There's like a legacy content now that you either can't access or you have to buy access to.
Weird.
It's free to play now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So there's like set stuff that you can do in the free to play one, or you can buy the level packs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I forgot, like, oh, yeah, this does feel good. And I can lose myself more in Destiny 2 because it's like space, sci-fi, like kind of one against all almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the whole like space marine thing, I can't get into.
Yeah. Totally fair.
So anyway,
sure.
I was just surprised that I was like, oh, Destiny 2 is actually. And also the PS5 version looked real pretty.
Yeah, right.
On
well,
my
that's,
OLED.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those games that I wouldn't play by myself. So like I would, yeah, if you would want to do it at some point, I would definitely be down.
I just ran out of hard drive space, or otherwise I wouldn't have moved it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I'll try to find. I would play that again. It was looking real pretty.
Nice.
And I like them floaty space moves.
You gotta love it. The old floaty space moves.
Yep. Anyway, we should. I think that's plenty of of BS.
Yeah, looking at our timestamp right now, we've really done it.
It's all right. It is a shorter game this
month.
It is.
It's a very short game.
But still a lot of cool stuff to talk about.
I agree.
Paul, what are we talking about?
We are talking about Super.
Hot.
Super.
Hot.
That's right. Super Hot.
Yeah. Super Hot was released in February 2016 on the 25th. That was a weird way of saying it, but I'll go with it. Hey, February 25th, 2016.
I wasn't sure how it was going to go.
You know, every time I read these dates, I feel like I switch it up, and I'm just like,
I was on the edge of my seat. Yep. Next time, for all of our European listeners, we'll have to say.
Yeah, I will have to do
25 February.
Date month sometime.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them. It is technically that's how we do it in JavaScript, and I should really just start doing it that way.
Yeah, and then someday you'll just do year first.
Yeah, year, month, day, I think is the JavaScript one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, we'll have to go through every iteration.
We'll go through every iteration. It'll happen. It was developed and published by the team, or Super Hot team. I don't think it's Team Super Hot. It's Super Hot team.
I think so as well.
It was originally released on the PC first, and then it eventually made its way to just about everything, including Mac and Linux. What's up, Linux people? We didn't forget about you.
Yeah, this time.
This time. This is like the first time I was like, hey, they made a Linux port. I should probably mention that.
Yeah.
They probably, now that I think about it, that Linux port was probably whenever SteamOS was happening, and that was just Linux. And so they were like, we'll just do the Linux port.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And honestly, if there's any game that would just be on basically everything, it would be this game.
Yeah.
Like, subject material wise, I would say.
That's true. Yeah. That makes sense for this to be ported everywhere.
Right.
So this game was originally born out of a game jam called SDFPS. And I was trying to look it up to see if it's still a game jam and see if I could find anything about Super Hot.
Yeah.
And I found a video that Paul and I are going to watch real quick of. Real quickly together. It is from the 2020 edition of SDFPS. It is a mashup game called Super Is Hot. Someone, and this is amazing to me, someone combined Super Hot with Baba Is You.
Okay.
Have you played Baba Is You? It's a, you'll see it in here because the video has it, but it's this puzzle game it's on Switch, it's on PC. It's really good. It's really hard. I have it as well. I've played
up my alley.
I haven't beat it because puzzles get pretty hard. But basically, you can manipulate the text string, like the sentences, to change how the goals or the, like how the physics of the game work or the mechanics of the game work.
Yeah.
So like at some point you can change the goal to just be you, or you know, like there's different ways to solve each of those, but someone combined that with Super Hot. So I'm just gonna play a real quick clip because I think this is kind of wild. Gonna get live reactions here.
Ooh.
So we'll describe. There's a video out there. You can search for Super Is Hot, but basically you get a room with two of the red Super Hot looking people.
Yeah, the red guys.
And then a menu will pop up that looks like the Baba Is You map, and it'll have like you is shoot, you is move, and then one is like time is stop, time is go. And so they can shoot and then turn time back on.
Huh, yeah. So you're sort of, you're adding an extra step to the nothing moves. Or I guess just the mechanic of the game. Like you're creating the mechanics of the game.
And I do like that you have to finish the level by saying Super Is Hot.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
I thought it was very appropriate that game was born out of that game jam and then someone then decided to do a remix on it.
Yeah,
that
second
pretty
version
neat
of said game.
So after that game jam, they made a Kickstarter in 2014. For the game, it was, the original goal was $100,000. They raised $250,798.
Yeah, I do remember hearing about that. Just like, yeah, which is crazy to think like such a, like such a small idea, I don't know, or like such a yeah, I don't want to say, yeah, small idea was like so novel. It, like, we had all of the mechanics except for this one thing,
mm-hmm.
and then it made everything so cool. But.
Yeah, it's also really funny to think about its success now, to think that it started out and just like, look, we need 100K on Kickstarter to help us get over the finish line or whatever, and now this thing is everywhere and won so many Game of the Years, or like we're on Game of the Year lists. So.
Right, yeah.
It has since spawned, there's a VR version, which is very appropriate, and I've heard nothing but good things about.
Same.
I want a VR headset just for this. And then they spawned a kind of sequel, but really more of a spin-off game, Mind Control Delete, where it's a roguelike version of Superhot. Both you and we have both played some of this.
Yeah,
just
a little
bit. And so it felt appropriate to talk about it here. We can mention it here because it doesn't really have any bearing on the story. It's basically just an endless runner version of Superhot, but you get 3 hearts. So if you take a hit in a level, you can keep going, and you basically have to do enough levels in a row to get to a new node. So it's almost exactly like how Rogue worked.
Yeah.
Which is a game I only saw for the first time a year or two ago. Actual Rogue. And
yeah, I guess I've never seen it either.
Yeah, Giant Bomb had
a series.
I've
seen the likes, though.
Yeah, there was a series on Giant Bomb called Going Rogue where they were going to play it, and they were doing it they would do one run every day, and one episode was 4 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
It was a bad run.
Oh, jeez.
That was a really good one. There are nodes. You get power-ups at certain points throughout the levels that kind of add to your abilities. Like, you can run faster, or you get more hearts, or you can reload faster. I only played maybe 20, 30 minutes of it.
Yeah,
but
I played maybe 10, 15 or something
I
like that.
I like the, you know, we're both story people. So I think the story pool of regular Superhot is what keeps getting me through. I love the gameplay, but like, I can't see me doing a ton of Mind Control Delete.
Yeah,
I might. Every once in a while, I probably boot it up and be like, "Oh yeah, this feels great."
Yeah, I agree. That's sort of how I felt as well. There wasn't like, that's the story of Superhot, which again we'll get to at some point here. But the, you know, that's the big draw for me. That's like this, you know, sort of mind warping, mm-hmm. like the thing going on, and just having like. Yeah, the gameplay is fun enough that I would definitely play Mind Control Delete, but probably not for super extended periods of time, or, you know, nor would I think I would like exclusively play that for a time being
mm-hmm.
to complete it.
Yeah, that seems like one I just pick up and put down as I need that little boost.
You're right, exactly.
The fix. I need that super hot fix. I do love that there's new weapons in it, though, like throwing stars.
Yeah. And the knife, like the...
Oh, yeah, the knife that you toss up before you throw.
Like, that's your reload is the toss in the air.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think now we can finally talk about... Let's talk about the story. Let's do that and mention how the game plays throughout.
I think...
Because it's weird. It's like, it's story and then pockets of gameplay, story, pockets of gameplay, but it works.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think too, like, I wonder if we'll dive into some conspiracies during this, because I think, at least I think I will, like, in terms of what's happening in the
game. Okay.
But, yeah, man.
I look forward to that.
I got real into it.
Because I don't have any, like, big picture ideas for this yet, so I'm curious to see where your thoughts are on that. The one sentence pitch or whatever, two sentence pitch for this game is, it's a first person shooter. Time moves when you do.
Right.
That's the main hook of the gameplay. Everything is very stylized. It's white rooms with light shadows, and the enemy avatars are all just orange, like pixelated.
Yeah, polygonal.
Humanoids
looking
things. They have no face or anything. It's just orange pixels.
Polygonal? Polygonal.
There you go. I think
I don't know.
I've heard polygonal. Now you're messing with my head.
Well, now I'm. This is conspiracy number one.
Polygonal
is
versus
it polygonal.
Polygonal.
I guess polygonal. Polygonal is like polygamy. I think that's what I'm thinking of, which is a completely different thing. Super.
Hot. Okay, we're back in.
All right, we're back in.
It's the standard first-person shooter controls. You know, it doesn't deviate too far from there. It, I played this originally on PC. Mm-hmm. I then did a second run through of it on the PS4 version. Paul, you did
Just Xbox.
Xbox. Yeah. I don't know why I ask. It's two options. Well,
I originally played it on the Xbox One. This time on the Series X, but it's not like it wasn't remastered or anything. So.
Right. I did the PS4 version on PS5.
Yeah.
Didn't change anything. But the PC version has some fun things that the console one doesn't have. There's one thing in particular I really want to mention, but I thought it was really freaking cool at the time. Yeah. So your goal is just you pop in a level and you have to eliminate every enemy that comes at you. They usually have like two halves, sometimes three parts.
Yeah.
And you'll like go through a wave of enemies. Text will pop up on the screen.
Yeah, and it's always some like cheesy 80s line.
Yep.
Type of, yeah.
And then the action next wave movie. Happens. Yeah. And they go from just like, here's a generic room, here's an office, here's a street alley. Like they're always like these scenarios that you would see in movies of like fight scenes.
Yeah.
But they're like real abstract versions of that.
Right, exactly.
There's specific ones that stick out in my head. There's like one that's an alley and there's a truck.
Yes, I remember.
With like there's like trunks open and weapons that you can pull from.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one where there's an alley and a truck comes at you.
Yeah.
There's like two trucks coming at you and you have to get out of the way. And man, did I fail that one a lot.
Yeah, I definitely did that as well. The one that stuck with me this time around that I remembered playing a bunch because I kept dying in it, is like the first time that you get the body snatcher ability, you know, like whatever, like
hot, being hot
able
switch.
To move. Yeah, hot switch. But being able to move from one body to another, the whole like you're flying out of the window, and so you hot switch, like that's how the level starts.
I don't remember doing that.
Just
one.
Very cool.
I just played that this morning. I don't remember doing a hot swap out the window.
Well, you start like your character, the glass is breaking and you're like,
oh yeah. Okay. And they tell you hot swap.
Yeah. That's when you learn how to hot switch.
Okay. I think I just did it really quickly and I don't think I realized
what was happening. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I do. Yeah. Anyway, so there were definitely some levels that I remembered, the node one, especially because I remember the first time I played that, I had to do it so many times.
Yep.
Like I just kept screwing it up. And it's also like the longest of the levels.
Yeah, it is, because they break it up into a lot of parts.
Right, yeah. And there's just like person after person coming after you.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to what that means in terms of the story.
Right,
but
exactly.
It is, that's a really fun one.
Yeah.
I only died, this past time I only died once or twice doing that whole run.
I think so as well.
And it was only the last one. Yeah, I died once in the last block.
Yeah.
And it was just because I didn't turn my head fast enough to see the bullet coming flying at my face.
Yeah, because at that point, there's just people all around. You gotta worry about that. Yeah. But
also, time does move very, very slowly when you stand still.
Yeah.
So you still have to move, but it changes a lot. Like, when you start moving, it winds up to real time.
Yes.
If you're not fast, you know, if you go too fast,
right, yeah,
and you will die if you just run around,
right,
and so it's like strategic. How fast should I go to get to them? Like, there's one level where you run down an alley and there's just two guys shooting at you, and you have to just like bob and weave,
slowly dodge,
yeah,
like turn your body so you watch the bullet fly past. Like,
yep,
it's a lot of fun. If you ever wanted to be in that, you know, scene in the Matrix where Neo does the first, like, you know, bending all around, that's essentially what's happening.
And the best part is at the end of the level, you get a replay of what you did in real time.
Yep.
And you feel like such a badass every time you watch it.
Yep.
You're like, yeah, I am the one. I am Neo.
Yeah. Yeah. It is so cool to see it then. Yeah. Replayed in real time. Cause then it just looks like you're ducking and dodging. Like you always knew what you were trying to do. When, you know, in the actual level, you're like, crap, where should I go? There's bullets all around.
Yeah. Me. Or my favorite is whenever I throw a gun and miss. And then I punch the guy in the face and then take his gun and shoot him in the head.
Yep.
I meant to do that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Dude, there were so some of those levels where like that's another one that I remember a lot. There's one where you're in an elevator and there's three guys.
Oh yeah.
They're all starting to shoot you. That was one that I had to do a crap ton of times.
Yep.
First time I did it. This time I did it much more quickly, but
yeah, it still took me a few times this time
to
do it, but same. I was like, oh, right, this one.
Yeah. There's also the one where, like, there's a billiards table and, like, like somebody's behind a bar.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of, like, bottles lying around and stuff. And that was something that I found enjoyable this time around was, like, grabbing the bottle, chucking it at a person, grabbing another bottle, chucking it at the same person, like just doing it sort of because there were so many of them, right. just continually doing it to everybody.
I did find myself chucking the weapons. Like I would shoot one, especially if all of them have guns.
Yeah.
I would just shoot one, chuck. And my favorite thing in the world is you throw the weapon at them and the guns always come flying at you to give you a chance to grab it. And so you're always like grabbing a midair, top of the head, shoot, chuck it at the next guy, you know, grab it, top of the head, shoot.
Yep.
It's so silly.
Yep.
And I love doing it. And it just feels so good.
Yeah, right.
So having played PC and then having played the console version, the only thing I noticed, and I'm sure you can change this, PC, it's keyboard, mouse, you know, WASD.
Yep.
That felt good. No issues there. On my PS4 version, playing with the DualSense controller, the ramp up on those analog sticks is wild.
Yeah.
Like you really have to nurse it a little bit or else you're going to end up running into bullets so many times.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I could have went into the settings and adjusted that, but I got used to it after a while.
Right,
and just kind of worked with it.
Yep. Yeah. It's very much like a nuanced sort of movement.
Yeah, because if you do even just a little bit too far, you're just whoop real time and right in the face.
Yep.
The katanas were also really fun this time.
The katana was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I have a thing to say at the end about a certain mode that unlocks with katanas, but
yeah, which I started and I kind of want to go back through and play some of that.
Yep. I also did a couple of those today.
Yeah.
But the wrapper in the setting of this game is really the pull here and what really got both of us into it. So you load up the game and it loads into this fictional OS. It's a like an ASCII art
Sort of
command
DOS.
Command line kind of thing. It's like PiOS.
Yes,
like PiOS.
Yeah. Oh. It's like Peter, because the developers,
right,
or the lead developer or whatever
is
his name.
It was real fun to watch the credits
happen.
It's like
P-I-O-T-R or something. It's very,
Peter,
Yeah,
so you load into this OS, and you get like this kind of chat message that pops up. And the first message you get is, "This is the most innovative shooter I've played in years. You know, you should check it out." And you're like, okay. And so this friend of yours sends you this EXE of Superhot. And so you get like a DOS menu, which is really great because there's a lot of folders in there. There's just some like weird, like screensavery type things.
Yeah.
Or like,
It's more than just the game. Like you are, you've downloaded a whole package with all kinds of stuff in it.
It gives you the whole experience of like, oh, this is like an old operating system kind of deal. It's that on PC, especially like really like, dragged me in because I was like, oh yeah, this feels right.
Yeah.
Also, so when you do the chat messages on the PC, you just do like, if you've never seen the website, there's Hacker Text or Hacker Typer. It's just, you're just doing that. You just hit all the keys and it types out the sentence that that you're supposed to do.
Yep.
So you're doing that. On the console, you lose a little bit because you have to use the triggers.
Yeah, you just hit the triggers.
And it's like, this is not good.
Not as fun, but still the same.
But anyway, he sends you Superhot EXE and you load it up. And that's when you get like five levels of what we talked about. Jump into a world, you know, this white abstract place. You eliminate your enemies, you move on to the next one. If you die, you restart. I do like that it's kind of like a Tony Hawk game or something where it's like the restart is real quick.
Yeah, it's just
even
sort
on the consoles.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, good.
Yeah.
This makes it a lot more enjoyable. Otherwise, it would be such a pain to deal with.
Yeah, it would be absolutely a pain. Yeah. And speaking of the sort of abstract, it definitely cuts down on the like ultra violence that this game is, too,
yes.
Which I think is interesting. Like it's sort of not desensitizes, but it's definitely because like everybody's just polygonal and like it's you're sort of just bursting these polygons apart. Like it definitely doesn't seem quite as ultra violency as it could.
Yeah.
But anyway, continuing.
Which might, you know, it kind of leads into the whole.
Yeah, again, we'll get to it in a second. Yeah.
Yeah. So the way it kind of works is you do like five of these levels at a time. So you'll do five, you do the first five. And like, again, they're all kind of, they can honestly be interchanged in the beginning because they're just getting you into the concepts of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, time moves when you do. This is how you grab a weapon.
Right.
This is how you chuck something.
You can punch somebody.
You can punch somebody. That also feels real good.
It does.
After the first five levels, you get like an error screen, and it kicks you back out of the game. And so you're back into a chat message, and you write back to your friend, and you're like, "Hey, this says that I have like I'm not allowed in. I don't have access." It's like, oh, hold on, let me send you a cracked copy of the game, which really harkened back to those years of like on torrents of seeing like Adobe Photoshop CS5 cracked, EXE, or other Adobe products I won't mention.
Yep,
that I totally just saw other people have.
Yeah, I didn't have a free version of that thing.
Nope, I don't know what you're talking about. Although they got me now, I'm paying for Photoshop. I feel as bad.
There you go.
But I don't. Still no charm over these.
Yeah, still didn't do it.
Still just, those were bad
I'm
people.
I'm paying for other people's mistakes.
That's right. I'm paying for other people's misgivings and and bad attitudes. Super.
Hot.
Okay, we're back. So he said you a cracked copy of the game, which I always find really funny. And then you jump back in, you do the next set of five. It's after this set of five that you get kicked back out and you're starting to chat with your friend again. But as you're typing out the messages, this red text shows up and changes your replies.
Yeah.
And okay, so you type again and it changes your message again. It's basically, it's just like, because your buddy wants to get into the game because he couldn't get this far. It was like password protector or something, and you figure it out. But the game, this red text won't let you reply to your friend to give him access. It keeps saying like, oh, you're just playing too much, man. You need to calm down. And meanwhile, you're like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah,
help.
This isn't help.
And it'll change it to like, okay, man, grow up or whatever, you know, like something like that. It's like, fine. And he logs out. And the red text then opens up a separate chat with you, and the red text is like, hey, you don't know what you're in for. You need to stop playing this game. And then you write back, all right, I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. And he's like, you need to type this out exactly. Say this. Say you will not load Super Hot EXE. And you type out, I will not load Super Hot EXE. Like, okay. And kicks you back out to the main screen. At this point, this is when you go play some Tree Dude.
Right. Yeah.
Which we will...
Because access is denied.
Yeah. Well, kind of.
Right. At the time, yes.
So, yeah. One of the things in the main menu, if you look, there is a games folder and there is a mini game called Tree Dude.
Right.
Tree Dude has the best intro of the fake things in there.
It really does.
His name is Tree Dude. Sorry, it's... Meh. I just like that song. That
his song is
Matt.
Yep. And I definitely had the song stuck in my head.
Yep. I totally didn't sing Tree Dude to that. Tree Dude. Tree Dude Dude Tree.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful music.
And all it is just like you have to either hit left or right to chop the tree you're working on, but if you have to avoid the branches.
Yep.
So you want to just pick the sides of the branches, We were going to compare our high scores. I can't remember my exact number, but I do know that my best score was around 250. So it's either 260 or 240.
So it's somewhere in that range.
It's somewhere in the 240 to 260 range. Yeah. I can't remember the exact number.
I don't remember what I was at originally, but then I played it a bunch, and I got to 371.
Nice.
And that was my highest. Yeah. So
I gave it three tries.
But I was in the like early 200s for a while. And yeah.
Because at a certain point, the timer is what starts getting you.
Right, exactly.
And I didn't care it that much. Yeah. So I was like, all right, cool. I got enough tree, dude. But
for some reason, I thought I remembered like you and our other friend talking about like getting into the 400 or 500s.
I might have.
Like a long time
I'll have to
ago.
Look at the PC.
This would have been forever. Yeah, yeah. Ago. But I just.
The console one, I only got 250.
Yeah, so when I played it. I was like, all right, well, I gotta be really good because I, I think I had like 203 to begin with. Then yeah. I was like, well,
I need to double check now you say that. I think our friend got way higher than I did, yeah. But it's been so long since I played a PC copy,
right?
That I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway,
so suffice to say, you play some tree, dude. This is another important thing too. On the console versions of the game, you know how there's like a quit option and it just reloads the main screen.
Yeah.
On PC it quits you out of the game.
Oh really?
So when you pick quit, it just kills the exe.
That's interesting.
So there's like little, that's the thing that I feel like if you got it, you're, and we'll get to this at the end, but I'm gonna, spoiler alert, I think you should play it on PC first because of the little touches like that.
Yeah,
that make it a little more immersive. So like right. When you quit out of the game, it quits you out, or when it tells you don't play anymore, all right, closes the game out.
Right, exactly.
So obviously you don't listen to the red text. You just load back up Super Hot EXE again.
Yep.
But when you do, you get loaded into a jail cell.
Yes.
And text keeps popping up. It's like, you didn't listen. You know, we have control of you, and you, they give you they show you these camera feeds and they're like, we're going to show you, you know, we're watching you. And you like have to keep tapping a button to get the camera to move. And when you get there, you see what you assume.
With like weird, like this, like, yeah. Like sound every time
you press.
Yeah,
like
the
screen will kind of fade in. It'll do like silhouette effect.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll
yeah.
just kind of like, is that the right word?
Sort of tunneling.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's like tunneling in.
Yeah, yeah.
And fading out. And then you hit the button, you get that, yeah, you get that sound effect. And you do it enough. And you look in a window, and it's just another orange dude in a headset, but you presume that's you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love that there's like all these massive amounts of cables coming in, like you're stealing all the power to run this.
Yep.
It's like you're running a
like
mine.
Multiple, like the screens, like CRT screens, and like all the
tons
kind
of,
stuff of
monitors. It's like you're trying to mine for Bitcoin in there. No, we're not getting into that. This one, I can't.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, don't believe the hype.
Just go watch that 2-hour video on YouTube that tells you that NFTs are stupid. That's all you need to know.
Exactly.
So yeah, they do that and they jump you back into some levels.
Well, they at the end of that level, they force you to punch yourself.
Oh no, you do a couple first. They do the jail cell thing, then they're like, you go into the levels.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first is just showing through your window. That's right. Never mind.
And then
Sorry.
You do a couple. Because I did this spoiler morning. Alert. That's why I remember this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'll do a couple more levels. And then at the end, they load you back in that room. And the text pops up and says, go and see yourself. Or we're going to go see you or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So you travel up those same stairs this time, but you're controlling it. You walk into the room and it's like, experience it, or you know, make yourself feel it.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
You, as you move your head around, like the head of the VR headset moves, and you're seeing what you see on those monitors.
Right.
So that's the confirmation. Hey, this is you.
Yeah.
And so yeah, you have to punch yourself in the back of the head, and as soon as you do, you warp back out.
Yep.
And the red text shows up again. It's like, how's your head feel? And just right back. It hurts. And that's when it's like, well, at this point, you're ours and you're gonna follow us exactly. And that's when the I just realized we've been doing the chant, but we haven't mentioned that that happens at the end of each
Oh,
level.
yeah, true. Well.
So it becomes important here. So we'll explain it and then why I think it's important. So at the end of each of those levels, when you get the cool replay, you get this chant over and over of super
Hot.
hot,
Yeah.
super hot. And it goes over and over and over until you hit the button.
Yep.
When you get to this point, the text is starting to tell you, it's like, you're being held back. You know, you're getting three, they'd say three things in particular, but they say mind is software, bodies are disposable, and the system will set you free.
Yes.
So these are the things that it keeps getting, like, chanting at you. And so the super hot thing kind of is almost like a hypnosis thing, where
Yes.
the more you repeat super hot over and over and over, the more you're being drawn into the system. This is also the same time that when you finish this block of levels, you get kicked back out into a chat. And this time, your text is replaced, but it's always replaced by super
Super hot,
hot in
super
all
hot,
caps.
super hot, super hot.
So
Yeah.
you type it out, it's your friend's like, oh, how's it going? You just reply, super hot, super hot, super hot, super hot.
But
It's like,
in reality, that's like what you're typing is, I can't control this. I don't know
yeah,
what's going on.
I'm not doing this now. Please
Yeah.
help me. And it just turns into super hot, super hot, super hot. And your buddy's like, all right, you wouldn't even let me play, and now you're obsessed with it. I'm just gonna block you, man. And you're like, please, I need to be set free. All right, I just want to get back into the game.
Yeah,
That's
yeah.
what you type that twice and it changes, like, fine. I just want to get back into the game. And then that text comes up and, like, fill, you know, it's in the center of the screen, and the red text is like, okay. I don't know if it says anything or if it just turns that red and then loads the game back up.
Yeah.
And that's when you do a level or two. And then in between this set of levels, you'll do one, and then the ASCII art thing comes up, and you have to hit buttons that make the super and hot voice happen.
Yep.
And the ASCII art is kind of like a wave, like an audio wave.
Yeah, it
But
sort of spreads itself apart.
when it opens, that's when you're seeing the text that just fills the block that says, you know, mind
Mind
is
itself.
software.
Yeah.
You know, it's like super mind is software. Hot,
Bodies are
bodies are
disposable.
disposable.
Yeah.
Super, the system will set you free. And you're like, whoa. This
Yep.
is some like, it's getting trippy now.
Yep.
So you do that off and on for three or four times. You'll do a level, do that, do a level, do the chant. And then finally you get a message that says, I will hot switch into the core. And you're like, okay. And then this is the finale. This game is quick. You can do it in probably
3 hours, that's
3 hours.
what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's
Maybe
not
not even
very.
that much.
Yeah, you're probably burning through it quicker if you're pretty good at the combat stuff.
Yeah, the actual levels themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, but so you're like, okay, so the core, you walk down a hallway to get to it. First, it's like a weird ASCII art hallway. The
Yep.
ASCII art in this is really great.
It really is.
Do a really good
It's, yeah,
job.
it's so good.
You go down the hallway in the ASCII art one, and then you get like locked into that jail cell again, but it's the ASCII art version. And then you get a real version of the hallway, and you're like, we found the core.
Yep.
You walk down it, and it's just a big orange triangle,
Right.
which, considering one of the other games we're thinking about doing, a lot of
Yep.
games have evil triangles in
Yeah,
them.
true. True, true, true.
So you, at this point, you have learned the ability to hot switch, which allows you to jump into another body, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Because then your host body basically gets rejected and falls apart.
Their head explodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can use that strategically to jump across levels or get behind people. Like, there's one I remember where there's like three people in a room, and you can, oh, it's the train one.
Yeah.
You're on top of a train, and you can grab a shotgun real quick and jump down before the
You
tunnel
go
gets
into a
you,
tidal, yeah,
which I
into a
totally
tunnel.
got hit by the tunnel. Jump down into the car, and you can get one shot off really consistently. And so if you time it right, you can shoot the one of the three hot switch into the other one, and then toss you always toss whatever weapon you have when you hot switch.
Yeah.
So when I toss the weapon, I hit the other guy in the back of the head, steal his gun, and shoot him.
Yep.
Oh, that one felt really good.
Yeah, definitely satisfying.
Yeah. So at this point, you hot switch into the triangle, into the floating triangle or pyramid.
The core.
And you start seeing a little ASCII art brain and like a little box.
With binary code.
Yep, yeah. With just ones and zeros, binary. And it's uploading. And you get to like 30%. And it says, error. And you get back, you get pushed out and you're doing another level, except it's around the core. Yeah. So you're like in the office where the core is. And it's basically everybody freaking out. They don't know which one is which anymore because you can hot switch in between everybody. So a lot of times they're shooting each other.
Yep.
Until they figure out like, oh, wait, no, it's this one. So it always starts out with somebody shooting somebody else because they don't know who it is anymore.
Yeah.
And you start like, you have to kill enough of them before you're allowed to hot switch back into the core. I don't remember the exact number, but I know you have to kind of like run around the bit, just taking people out.
Yeah, it's three or four times. I can't remember.
Oh, it's three or four times, but I meant like the amount of orange people you have to get.
Oh, yeah. It's probably like 12.
Yeah.
Each time or something.
Yeah. And like they come in, some have the shotguns, some have the assault rifles, some are just pistols, a couple have katanas. Those katanas are real good
still.
They are
a lot of fun.
And then you'll hot switch back into the core. And you do this three times, and every time your upload percentage gets a little higher before it errors out. The last time you finally hot switch into the core, you upload 100%, and then you get a view at the top of the core looking down, and all you do is like hover over each of the orange guys there, and you just go in and make
like
their heads
explode. Make
all of their heads explode. Yeah. And if you do it right, too, you can chain a couple together in one run. I did that one or two times, and that was my favorite part, was just like, yeah, zap him, yeah. Like, really getting into the over-the-top, like, orange polygon head-exploding thing.
It's a glorious thing.
It really is. It's just, like, if I would have had the it's that Beethoven piece that they, I can't remember, is it, it's not Ode to Joy, is it? Maybe it is Ode to Joy that I'm thinking of. It was the one that they, this is how I always remember it. It was one that was used in a Starz commercial when I was a kid.
Movies.
That one. Yep. It's that piece of music. Yeah, yeah. That's you Ode had that playing over that bit, it would be perfect.
Yeah. But yes, just very over the top.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's so that's really a lot of fun. And then you eventually see, you know, the 100% upload it, and it says, we're set yourself free. And you're loaded back into that stairway with the cables running through, and you have to go into the room where you're at. You have a pistol, and you have
there's
to...
There's literally nothing else you can do.
There's nothing else you can do. There's nowhere else you can go. The only option you have is to shoot yourself in the back of the head.
Yep.
And that's, to set yourself free.
And that's the end of the game.
That's it. Yep.
Well, actually, it ends with endless mode unlocked.
Yep. Immediately endless mode unlocked, and then credits.
And that's it.
And then after the credits, you get more red text that says, congratulations, you are now free to play the endless mode of super hot whenever you want.
Yep.
Oh, that's so well done.
Yeah, absolutely incredible.
So this is the thing that I was surprised the console version had, but it wasn't as fun as the PC one was. There's the thing at the end where it says, we need more. You're not enough. We need your friends. We need their names. And it says, tell your friends about Super Hot using this message. And it is the exact same sentence that you get at the beginning of this game. Yeah. This is the most innovative shooter I've played for years. Yeah. Check it out. And in the console version, you get three chat windows that pop up and you say, dear friend name, this is the most innovative, you know, blah, 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 blah. You send it out.
Yeah.
In the PC one, it uses your Steam friend list.
Oh.
And you can just pick the people you want and send them the message. And the best part is it would send them that message and then you would get a 10% off coupon for Super Hot.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I was like, that's hella good marketing.
Yeah, that's very good marketing.
It's very, very good. Did I just say hella?
Yes, you did say hella.
That's right. I'm 90s California kid.
That's wicked. It's wicked good marketing. We'll just use whatever colloquialism.
Yep, that's not at all where we're from. It's
definitely not where we're from.
Yep. Oh, man.
You can hear it in our voices. That is not where we're from.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that's... I don't know if our buddy used the coupon that I sent him, but I know I played that game first, and I'm like, well, I'm going to send him this because it's too silly not to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved that part.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know that they did that in the PC version.
So I rewatched the ending because I wasn't convinced I was going to finish the console one again. Mm-hmm. And then quite like we did with Halo, I inadvertently finished it the morning of this recording. So I had it fresh in my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember like being able to send that out and it would show in the Steam chat too. And like Steam messages.
Oh, that's cool.
It would be like, this is the most innovative shooter I've played for years. Check it out. 10% off coupon for Super Hot Steam page.
That's so good.
I don't know if they still do that anymore. I doubt they do.
Yeah.
That was when it came out back in the day, back in the original release date.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I loved that little bit. And like I said, that's why I think the PC version, if you have the option, play it there first. Although now with the two other games, they have like a Super Hot launcher.
I had seen that. Yeah.
Because I loaded up Mind Control Delete. And it was just a menu. It was like, here's Super Hot VR, here's Super Hot, here's Super Hot Mind Control Delete. I'm like, well, this is not what I remember at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, it's sort of bundled the trilogy together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm dying to play that VR version.
I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. I have my eyes set on whatever the new, well, I'm sorry, PlayStation VR 2, the sequel to VR.
Yeah. Just as long as you don't get a Meta Oculus or whatever.
Yeah. Yes. I can't.
That's another.
Although.
This is another tangent we probably shouldn't
get. that's just along my with stance NFTs. On Meta. Yeah. Yeah. No, whatever that PlayStation VR 2 is looking right. And if that's the case, I have Super Hot VR on there.
Okay.
Because there was like a while where that was the PlayStation Plus games. And I'd always go in and like, well, I'm going to save this even though I don't have VR. So. Maybe one day.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun to play for sure. It just lends itself to that so much.
You're in a your character's in a VR headset,
right?
In the game.
Yeah, right. And just like, again, you've got the like, I want to do the Neo Matrix moves, right? Like, yep. I want to contort my body to get around.
Yep. I've watched some footage of people playing it, and one of my favorite things is like you have to move around to make time move, and so some people just kind of do like this little like I'm gonna call it grandmas and moms dancing at a wedding move they're just kind of moving their hands in circles to make time move.
That's amazing.
It still seems pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
the chance to play that at some point.
Conspiracy theory time.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where.
So here's my thought. Here was something I was thinking as I was like playing through this, and I think I thought this the time before as well. But the my sort of conspiracy theory is that this is some sort of AI that's trying to take over the world, right? And so what's happening is that you are, like these levels are actually real life and your mind is being ported into these like husks of people, like some sort of human to then like kill a bunch of people. And so what's happening is that you're like, the fact that it's so abstract removes it from the actual world and like whatever's happening there. And I guess the reason I thought about that was because like there's the point where you physically punch yourself or kill yourself, at the end of the game, but also just like at the end of every level, when Super Hot is being said, you have to progress to move on to the next level. and it says press A to hand over control. Uh-huh. And to me, that was like this, all right, we're taking your brain here. We're sending it over here to sort of do our bidding somewhere else.
Okay.
And it also, like, there's like the level where, you know, it's like we have control over you, dance dog, dance, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, that was and a you're, good, I remember the that people, one. Now, yeah.
They, yeah, there's a bunch of the red dudes above you shooting at you in the prison cell.
Yep, and you can't fight back. You just have to dodge long enough.
Yeah. Well, actually, in the one, yes, you have to dodge long enough, and then there's the other that's like you have to kill yourself. You have to make yourself die, so you have to run into the bullets to finish the level.
Yeah.
But all of that to say, like, my thought there was that, like, or the premise there was that all of those people were mm-hmm. already controlled, and you were sort of, you know, this person just in a jail cell who then was possessed and whatever. So that was sort of my conspiracy theory the whole time, which makes the game even wilder to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
As this, you know, sort of sentient being trying to essentially wipe out the human race by using our, like, consumption and, like, compulsiveness to, or just against us, I guess. That was, that all was right. my thought. And, yeah.
So you saying that it's made me kind of contextualize the game. And this isn't any wilder. If anything, I feel like this is more direct, kind of in line with maybe what's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that, so this AI, this core is looking for, it needs humans for power or for, you know, just to sustain itself or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that the game is necessarily a mimic for real life, with the exception of, like, well, man, no, I'm going to stick with this. I don't think it's necessarily a real life representation in abstract. I think it, the whole thing is just a training program.
Mm.
And I think it's weeding out the people that it knows it can easily control and add to its maw,
yeah.
if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
So the people that make it all the
hive mind of sorts.
Yeah. So yeah. It makes it all, you make it all the way through. You destroy the core, mm-hmm. but really all you're doing is uploading yourself to the core. You're adding yourself to the collective. So it's just an easy way to find people that are willing to submit themselves and give up their humanity.
Yeah.
To keep the AI going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
it's the same train of thought.
Sort of
I just,
same train of thought. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. My only difference was this. I don't know if it's necessarily a physical representation in the real world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's more of just like the chanting over and over again is lulling you into
absolutely.
That. And if it keeps working, like, you try to break out at a couple points, but then at a certain point, you just, your will is bent. You bend the knee.
Right, exactly. Yes.
To
yes,
the
yes,
core.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So, man, it's super hot.
It's a, man.
It's so, like, it.
What a great game.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It felt like, anyways, back.
Yep.
I remember that when it came out and people were, it was all over the gaming sites and stuff, and you're like, you really need to play Super Hot. And I saw a little bit of it. Like, well, that seems cool. And then whenever the story bits start kicking in, you're like, ooh, all
yeah,
right.
It's just unexpected, especially because everybody's like, yeah, there's this cool mechanic, this like novel idea here.
Right.
And that which will... I really didn't, I'm thinking back to earlier in this episode when I was trying to say that when we were watching the Super Is Hot, and I did a really poor job of trying to explain what I was trying to say. But anyway, this novel idea, right, is what everybody sort of talks about whenever, like when you pitch the game to me, you're like, yeah, this is that. And then with you, which I didn't get from everybody else, you put, and the story is wild, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I feel like not as many people like talked about that, but to me that yeah. was, I mean, the gameplay was tons of fun, but that was such a gripping part
yeah.
of the whole thing.
And also, this is not a new realization for me, but it was one that I kind of had another aha moment
mm-hmm.
of. The levels themselves play out more like puzzles than shooters.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
And that you jump in and you get stuck into a scenario and you're like, all right, what do I... If I shoot this guy first, he's going to come at me with another gun and I might not reload in time. So if I just knock his weapon out, shoot him, and then I can punch him or whatever. Like, again, with me, puzzle games are it.
I agree. I'm with you.
I just had this like, oh, of course. It was like one of those moments where like my eyes were opened up and like everything is puzzles.
Yeah, right.
Everything you like is puzzles. Because I'm like,
I saw through the bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just realized like I like this game because it's basically a puzzle with just it's a shooting puzzle.
Yeah, right.
I'm doing like actual physical puzzles in my free time. I started doing crosswords.
Yeah.
Like, I just like puzzles.
I love puzzles.
I like games with puzzles. I like Silent Hill 2 because of the puzzles. And I mean, the story is really good. Depressing, but really good. But there's puzzles in that. That's why I like the Resident Evil games, because of the puzzles. Portal 2, one of my favorite games of all time, and Portal 1. Puzzles.
Yep, it's just puzzles.
I'm peaking the audio because of puzzles.
That's how you know you're a true fan.
Yep.
When you peak because of the plosives.
You can look back. This is just for Paul and I, since we're looking at
it. It is fun to look.
You can watch me ramp up in my my realization of puzzles. I'm about to yell, puzzles, Jerry, puzzles.
They're booping and they're bopping. It's the puzzles, Jerry. That was my poor George Costanza.
It sounded like you started on the Simpsons Bill Cosby for a second.
Yes. Woo. Also, yeah, I wasn't trying to do that, but I understand.
Yeah. All my Seinfeld references just come from Tim Rogers videos.
I thought you were going to say all of my Cosby references.
No, we don't talk about him anymore.
No, we don't. Will Puddin' Pops ever be the same? That's the real question, you know? What happened to the Puddin' Pops stock? I mean, I really hope you sold that quick.
Yep.
It's gone.
I think much in the way of the Ford Bronco, it had to disappear for a while.
Yeah, they'll come back. Yeah, give it 30 years.
We'll call it something else.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God.
Those new Ford Broncos. The old ones were cooler, but these were all right. Anyway, yeah,
my dad had one, and that thing was always just like a little bit close to completely exploding.
Oh yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this game. Super
hot.
Thank you.
Now we're back.
Yeah, puzzles. That's exactly how I feel about it as well. It's not. I don't think of it as a shooting game, especially because like how much time it takes for you to reload and like actually be able to shoot again is dependent upon what's happening around you and how quickly you can move.
Yep.
And all of that stuff. I did find myself, just speaking of movement, I did find myself moving more quickly this time.
Yeah.
Through, and I don't know if it was because I sort of remembered the puzzles, but there were definitely times where I was like, well, nobody's going to be around here in this area. Uh-huh. Like, I'm going to run around and grab like a briefcase or something to throw, and then I'll see the person again. So I was able to like move a little bit more quickly, but there's still, man, it's so much fun to just like watch a bullet come that's like coming right by you and then just move the camera and just watch it fly past you. So, you know, certainly don't knock that part, or I don't knock that part, but yeah, it's very much a puzzle game to me as well.
Yep. Also, the thing that I find myself doing more is pre-aiming my shots when I know they're running.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Like leading the shot.
Yes.
Yeah. Leading the shot on them. So they'll be running out and like, all right, he's running fast enough that if I shoot here now, he's going to run straight into it.
Yep.
And every time it happens, I'm like, I am the king.
Yep. It is so satisfying. I am God.
that's your Neo Matrix moment.
You're right.
There's so many of those. I mean, this game wouldn't.
That's basically the premise
Matrix.
Of the game. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And we're all better off for it.
I agree. What a phenomenal game.
Don't sleep on that new Matrix movie. I like it.
I still need to watch. Like,
come at me. Nerds that didn't like it.
Yeah, well, those nerds can also come at me for liking The Last Jedi. So, hot take.
Guess who didn't see it?
That one.
Oh, wait, Last Jedi? That's the middle one.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I did too.
People are whiny babies.
People are whiny babies. Sorry, all you whiny
you guys,
babies out there. Yeah.
You guys are cool.
You guys are cool babies.
Yeah, cool babies.
The cool babies.
Totally different.
It's absolutely.
Oh, different. Man. Super Hot is fantastic. It's still, I mean, it's not that old. I want to say it holds up, but like,
yeah,
playing through it again, that still hit all those same notes for me.
Yep.
Last time, I'm not going to be PC guy again, but if you can play the PC version, get that one first. Yeah. The little nuances of the immersion, I think, really help.
Yeah,
that is
really cool. That's something that I didn't know, yeah, but definitely would be.
Yeah, also, I think Mind Control Delete just comes with the PC one. I think I only got it because I owned Super Hot originally.
You might be right. Yeah, yeah.
And they gave everybody Mind Control Delete.
Yes.
I think now you have to buy them as a package.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's if you end up liking, if you find yourself more hooked on the gameplay, definitely give Mind Control Delete a shot.
Yeah.
I was having a lot of fun. Oh, the thing I wanted to mention, Endless Mode that you unlock after. There are also challenge modes.
Yes.
And I think you and I were both talking about Katana only.
Yes.
Yep. There's one where you just get, here's a set of levels, and you can only use a katana. You can't pick up a gun.
Yep.
Can you throw the katana?
That's something I don't know, because I just briefly tried it on Friday, and I realized I should have thrown my katana when I didn't, but then I didn't go again to try.
I did one where I threw it and I completely missed and then got shot.
Yeah, there you go. That also happens with the katana.
Yep. But like one of the ones you do is you're in that hallway again with the two people shooting. And that's the one where I was able to finally do the achievement to cut a bullet with the katana.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. If you look, it will give you that little hover that, okay, this is within cutting range.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you can do it. And sure enough, the trophy popped up.
Oh,
got a trophy dog.
I don't know if I tried to do that.
Saying I cut a bullet. It's real fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the ones. There are other challenge modes. We haven't unlocked them. I don't remember what the rest of them are.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no reason not to play this game as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
I guess unless unless violence isn't your thing. And I get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this game is fantastic. It's one of my favorite games of the last decade.
I agree.
And you should play it.
Yeah.
And if you've listened this far, I assume you already have.
Yeah, probably.
But if you haven't, sorry.
Yeah. I think
part of me always thinks we should move that part up to the front in case people
don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, but then I'm afraid if we give it away, Yeah, so for some reason, if you weren't just completely spoiled by that or you skipped ahead and come back to this later, you should play this game.
Yeah, you definitely should.
It's phenomenal.
It really is. Such a simple mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Just is so much fun.
Yep. And to kind of illustrate a point I made last month with Halo. Halo annoyed me because a lot of the backlore story was being told to me by Cortana while I'm just standing there waiting for an elevator to load. Where Super Hot is all, it shows you by making you do things. You
right, yeah.
Punch yourself in
your
the back of the
yes.
head.
Yeah.
It's storytelling using the medium. And that's why I like that a lot.
I agree with that. And I think that's, yes, I'll just leave it at that. I agree with you. Yeah.
So, also, I'm not knocking every game that chooses to put all their story and lore stuff. I mean, that's all Dark Souls does. Every Souls game just puts all their lore in it, but they don't. You engage with that if you want to.
Right, yeah.
Like
it's not necessary.
They're not going to tell you to look into that. It's every other person that plays that game and goes, no, you need to read lore.
Yeah.
Because
right.
it will help you play that game.
Right.
So, but yeah, that is Super Hot. So phenomenal.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
It is great. We're a part of the hive mind now. It feels good.
We've been uploaded.
Yeah, I mean, I was not doing great in my physical body anyways.
Hey, I don't have tingles that I used to.
Yeah, my dry skin's gone. My joints don't hurt. My back doesn't hurt anymore.
My jingles, my tingles.
My Pringles.
My Pringles. They've all gone away. Pringles, if you want to sponsor us.
Hey. I wouldn't say no to that.
I know that once I pop, I can't stop.
That's what I've been told, too. I don't really know. I kind of go into a fugue state whenever I eat Pringles, and I wake up and there's three cans of them spread out.
Sort of a,
covered in crumbs.
Yeah, there's a period where you black out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, fun. I'll make this aside now, considering we've gotten through the game now. And this also, I don't know why more Australian stuff keeps coming up. It just happens to happen.
We'll finish this. Yes. Finish what you were going to say.
I recently acquired, this sounds like I found it on the black market. I just got it off of one of these. You can get snacks from all over the world.
Yeah.
I got Vegemite.
Oh, yeah.
And I was debating between Marmite and Vegemite, even though they're the same thing.
Yep.
They're just one's in Australia. The other one is England and New Zealand.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, come on. I've heard enough about this from various entertainment shows, TVs, movies, whatever. Let's talk about, let's try this thing.
Yep.
I immediately did it wrong.
Yeah, that's what I did the first time.
I put it on toast and I put way too much on it.
Yep.
And then I regretted that immediately.
Yep.
And then I read somewhere that Tom Hanks got in trouble, quote unquote. People were criticizing Tom Hanks because they saw a picture of him doing the exact same thing. And I read that you're like, no, you put butter on toast and then you put a light amount on top of that.
A thin spread.
Or you do a sandwich where it's butter, Marmite, cheese, and the other piece of bread, or another layer of the butter and the Marmite. I'm like, okay. So I did a speed run this toast. I did the butter and the Marmite one. It's something. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would crave it.
Yeah, it's...
I'm going to finish this jar.
Yeah, but it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, it's going to need some time and I need to find some uses for it.
Yeah, I know when I... So I went to Australia in 2008.
Oh, right, you did go.
and that was one of the things that I really wanted to try while I was there, was Vegemite. And I did it wrong the first time, like you did. And then somebody was like, nah, you're doing it wrong. That was actually pretty
good. That was good.
I'm proud of myself.
Yep.
We'll get back to that in a second.
We'll wait for the Artful Escape devs tell us if that one was better.
Hopefully they'll continue to listen. But anyway, they said about the breader, the butter, the breader, the butter and the thin film of Vegemite.
the barely there.
Yeah.
And it's like you just turn the butter slightly brown.
Yeah. And that's definitely the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like you said, I'm not going to clamor for it every day.
It doesn't have so this is the weird part for me too. You would expect it to have a real funk that as soon as you open the jar, it's everywhere. No, you have to get right up on it. And it's got kind of a funk.
Yeah, I don't know how I would describe the flavor other than like salty as shit.
Oh my god, yeah.
But it's just also
all of the salt
ever. I mean, it's yeast extract. Like that's literally what it is. So
here's the way I described it. It's as if someone took Worcestershire sauce and made a gel out of it.
Yeah, that's
And then added salt to that.
But there's definitely like an umami funk to it or something like that. Yeah, the Worcestershire, maybe that's that's a good call. It's also been a decade, something like that.
I can remedy that for you.
Since I've had it. I kind of want to try it again because it's so faint on my tongue.
Yeah, when I had it, it was just like, this is kind of like Worcestershire sauce, but way saltier and also just something different about, like, not quite there, but close enough.
Yeah, right.
When I put way too much on it without the butter, it was miserable.
Yes.
Butter helps, but at a certain point, you're like, if I'm only putting this much on it, is it really worth it?
Is it really worth it? Exactly. Yes. Absolutely. And going back to my Australia, the accent thing. So one certainly one positive of playing Mad Max, which I'm enjoying the game, but one positive is that I think I've gotten better at my Australian accent. So I showed it off in that little thing, which I honestly, that was the first time I'd ever tried to say that. And I was very, very proud of myself.
Yeah.
That was off the cuff for all you listeners. But anyway,
he didn't practice.
I didn't. It was cold, cold turkey.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris and I were playing games a few weeks ago or something. And I told you that I was really excited because I remember, I thought of some new words so I didn't have to just say the stereotypical throw another shrimp on the Barbie. And so now my phrases are on Max. I need some gasoline. I need water. Well, and then that's it. Which I feel like my face got really contorted and weird when
it
I was doing that.
It wasn't as bad. Okay, no, you looked totally fine doing that.
That's good.
That was fantastic. Also, that night we did play, I want to give you some context. I was exhausted and you were so much higher energy than I was. I felt so bad because you hopped on a call. You're like, yeah, man, can't wait to play this game. Been forever since we talked. Let's do this. Yeah. And I log in a call and it's like, yeah, everything hurts and I'm tired.
Well, I will say something, and this can either make it on the thing or not. But I did feel the need to be higher energy, I think because of how the Halo podcast went.
I didn't hate you for that.
Well, I didn't want either of us to hate each other.
Nothing about that I take personally. If anything, I feel bad because when I listen back, I'm like, oh man, this isn't fun for anybody.
It really wasn't. Yeah. But anyway, we did it though. That's part of book club, right?
That's right.
And by that I mean game club. So anyway, all of that to say, I definitely did feel higher energy, and I don't really know why other than that.
Yeah, it was just middle of the week. I'm tired.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway.
But all right, last aside, now we get to talk about next month's game.
Next month.
Oh, it's another fun one. It's another really short one, also one that I know that you haven't played.
I have
We're
not.
Gonna try to wrangle Nora back in.
Yeah,
you can't contain her.
You can't.
All they hope to just bring her in for a little bit and set her, then she'll break
right,
out.
Right. The energy you gotta corral the force.
That's right. There we go. So we're hoping to bring Nora back for this one, but we are playing a little game called Donut County.
Donut County.
Which
that was
sort
of Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, it was.
Theme-esque. Whoops.
Which, spoiler alert, I've already played again because it's incredibly quick to do so. So I have played it twice now on PS4. It's delightful.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of things that I think you're going to like. I think Noir will like it too, but who knows? Yeah, so that's going to be next month. Also on Game Pass. Also, I have no idea if Super Hot's on Game Pass anymore.
It is
still. I know Mind Control Delete was.
It is on Game Pass, if I remember
correctly. We're not sponsored by Game Pass, but I figure I always.
Or maybe it was a game for gold, actually, now that I'm thinking of it.
Okay.
Mind Control Delete is on Game Pass.
I just want to throw that out there for people that have that option. Because, you know, if you have it there, go get it. Otherwise, it's on sale all the time.
Yeah, it's not expensive.
It might be on sale now on PS4 for all I know.
Yeah.
If you have PlayStation Now, it's on PlayStation Now if you have that as well, because that's where I downloaded it from.
Yeah, certainly worth whatever it is.
Yeah, also totally worth buying because it's not that much and that team deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. All right. Well, I think that does it for this month.
I think so as well.
I mean, we have to go... I have to go. Oh God, I need an AI reference. I have to go decrypt some anagrams. I have to go check on this CAPTCHA over here in Europe now that I'm part of the hive mind.
I gotta go cache the matrix.
Oh, that's way better. How'd you get caching the matrix duty and I get stuck on CAPTCHA patrol?
Look, that's what happens when you
I gotta talk.
You just all that you extra kiss, all you that kiss extra, up to the AI node.
It's all that extra tree, dude.
That's right.
You gotta hire. I gotta go talk to my manager.
That's right.
Oh, oh God. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Paul.
No prob. And thank you, Chris.
You are very welcome, sir. That has been super hot. On the Backlog Review Game Club. If you enjoyed this program, please follow us at Backlog Review on Twitter. We will eventually have that Ko-fi page, or Ko-fi, I never know how to say it, set up at some point. Just know that we have it, but have not done anything with it, so to be continued. You can go to backlogreview.club to find all the previous episodes, catch up on all of our back catalog. Tell your friends about the show. You can leave ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other pod services.
You can also find us on Spotify or wherever you find your podcast of choice.
Mm-hmm. And we're one podcast on Spotify that doesn't give you misinformation about COVID.
Yay.
I didn't mean to throw that in there with the NPR voice. I will say it, my regular voice. We won't give you bullshit information.
Very important.
That has been the Backlog Review Game Club for the month of February. Coming up next, we return you to your previously interrupted program, Plants.
In the Wild.
In the Wild. I am Chris.
And I am Paul.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Good night.